This afternoon, if you will turn with me to the book of Galatians, chapter 3. We're going to be looking at verses 5 to 7. A very interesting passage it is. The Apostle Paul explains so many things in the way that he writes, and in the way that he writes, it's very deep and very good, but sometimes it does explanation. And this afternoon, I want to talk to you about the phrase that he uses here in these verses, by the hearing of faith. By the hearing of faith, which is a spiritual work that the Lord does in the hearts of all those whom God intends to save and all those who do believe in the Lord Jesus. Let's bow together for prayer. Oh Lord, we thank you that we can offer you worship here once again this afternoon and have the morning and the afternoon worship, that we can praise you and sing to you in the way that we just have. That praise is beautiful, as we thought about this morning, and our devotion to you, we pray, would be sweet in your eyes. At the same time, we pray that you would come and enliven our hearts so that we would be able to receive your word with gladness, that we would profit from it in every way, spiritually speaking, that we would see the things that we can learn from this passage and grow by them and even be of help to other people in their understanding. We pray that this would take place through the preaching of your word today. In Jesus' precious name, I ask it. Amen. Galatians chapter 3, and I think I'm going to begin reading at verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. This phrase, by the hearing of faith, which I mentioned at the end of verse 5, is also mentioned in verse 2, where it says, this only I want to learn from you, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So it must be a very important phrase for every Christian to understand if it's mentioned twice in so few verses. It is by the hearing of faith that we as believers were converted to Christ. It's true that we heard about the importance of faith in Christ when we first had the gospel preached to us. We heard that it was necessary to look outside of ourselves to Christ for salvation from sin in order to be righteous in God's sight. But in the context here, it means more than this. In the context, the hearing of faith becomes the means whereby we receive everything from God, that he would give to us things of truth and grace. In verse 2, the Apostle Paul's words, he words it in terms of their past experience at the time of their conversion. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So here in verse 5, he words it in terms of the ongoing work of God in supplying them with the Spirit so that they would grow in respect to their salvation. He does this so that we might understand something more about faith. Not just simply hearing about faith, but that we might understand the hearing of faith. So this is the proposition that I would set before you at this hour. To be able to spiritually hear is the basis of all that you will receive and all that you will do in living the Christian life. Three observations in relation to this. First, the hearing of faith is a work of the Holy Spirit of God in your heart and mind. Second, the hearing of faith is beautifully exemplified in Abram's being justified. And third, only those who know the reality of the hearing of faith are sons of Abraham. First of all, the hearing of faith is a work of the Holy Spirit in your heart and mind. Verse 5. It says there, therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Notice that God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord are the persons of the divine Trinity who supply the Spirit to the believer. The first two persons of the divine Trinity send the third person, the Holy Spirit, into the heart of the believer in Christ after they have believed the gospel. Ephesians 1, verse 13, in him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. The believers in the Galatian churches had experienced this working of the Holy Spirit. That's why he reminds them of it. His gracious influence is working in their hearts, the grace of regeneration, the subsequent giving to them of the Holy Spirit so that he might dwell in them forever. They received all this. God's presence, his influence, his working in their hearts and minds, it says here, by the hearing of faith. It was nothing that they did. It was their hearing by faith, their believing when they heard the truth of the gospel. That was what brought the Holy Spirit to them. And it was certainly not the works of the law, whether moral or ceremonial, that brought the Spirit to them. They had been supplied with the Spirit by the hearing of faith. The phrase, works miracles among you, does not appear to refer simply to the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit or to the miracles done by the apostles to confirm the gospel and the word of God preached to them. In the Greek, the word which is translated among you is thought by many commentators to be better translated in you, or at least to include the thought of God's working in them as well as among them by their having received miraculous gifts. So said three of the commentators that I looked at. But let us look at a couple of verses which use this word supplies in relation to the Spirit's working, and this will become clearer. The pulpit commentary says that the word in the Greek, the compound verb epikoregein, differs probably from the simple form of koregein only by indicating profusion in the supply, he says. But this qualification of its meaning is too slight to be representable in the translation. In other words, the churches of Galatia had been profusely supplied by the Holy Spirit with both gifts and graces. Let's look at the gifts of the Spirit first. I want you to turn with me over to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10 and 11. 1 Peter 4 and 10 and 11. This is what it says there. It says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now notice that the grace of God in true believers is manifold as it relates to gifts. Their gifts, the ability and strength to minister that gift, is something that God is supplying. And in His supplying it, He supplies it so that you might minister on His behalf and to His glory. He does not want any believer to minister in a legal way. And so He most definitely would not be teaching Christians, if they are to know and serve God, that they should do this according to a man-made set of religious rules, their having participated in certain religious ordinances, which is what these Galatians, by the way, were tempted to do. He certainly would not teach them that they are meriting favor with God because of that, or that they would be going to heaven because they engaged in good works. This simply would not be true. But this is what the false teachers were trying to teach the churches in Galatia. And so you see here that Peter is saying that if you would be faithful to God, you will minister the truth of the gospel and the word of God according to instructions that he and the other apostles would give in the letters of the New Testament. In other words, you will serve the Lord by the ability and the strength and the wisdom which God supplies. You believe in the gospel with the hearing of faith. Now you are serving God by the Spirit's power and by the strength that He supplies. Look at Philippians chapter 1 and verse 15. Philippians 1 and verse 15. The Apostle Paul says, some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers. And watch this, and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Now here we find something really quite interesting. There were some men preaching Christ from selfish ambition, who were envious of Paul and his gifts, his usefulness in ministry, people who Paul could not approve of their motives when they preached, even though he could rejoice in their preaching Christ. This could have been a great discouragement to him, seeing as they had intended to add to Paul's afflictions while he was in prison. But Paul didn't let this get him down. Instead, he believed that the Lord would come and work providentially. He would work to order things for his deliverance. And how would he do it? He would do it through the prayers of the Philippian believers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So you can see, if Paul had been a law preacher or a man motivated by fleshly impulses in his preaching, he never would have been able to have this calm assurance that he had, this peace that he had in the midst of his trials. It was because of the supply of the Spirit of Christ Jesus that he was able to go through these things and even to rejoice. He was encouraged by the Spirit. He was sustained by the supply of the Spirit in this time, his time in prison. And what I'm trying to tell you is, this is the same kind of grace that you have given to you, dear Christian, if you will awaken to the kind of power and love that Christ exercises toward you based upon the hearing of faith. And by that I mean that when you hear a sermon like this being preached, that you understand that you must believe these things that I'm preaching to you, that you must receive them with faith. Why was it that the Old Testament people did not profit from all that they heard? They didn't add faith to it, it says. You must add faith to it, not be a skeptic, and not be saying, well, I've heard these things 1,000 times before. You have to understand that God uses the Scriptures in this mighty way to build your faith by the hearing of faith and to allow you to go through various situations that you go through with confidence, love, and power like the Apostle Paul did. So the promises of God in Christ in the Bible, they're for you to live by. They're not for you to take them for granted. They're not for you to ignore them or to doubt them. The hearing of faith brings grace. I'm saying it brings power to you as the truth comes to your mind and heart. And this is so that you really will be strengthened by it. Do you believe this? That you will really be strengthened as you hear the Word of God to go about to do God's will and even to rejoice in whatever circumstances you find yourself in. The apostle was in prison. You're going to make progress, I'm saying, doing God's will, even if you're bound up in this way that he was. Second, the hearing of faith is beautifully exemplified in Abraham's justification, verses 6 and 7. Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. The words, just as Abraham believed God, show us that the hearing of faith was all that Abraham needed to be justified in the sight of God. He didn't need anything more. His faith was accounted to him for righteousness. But I want you to see that God was at work in Abraham's heart at that time, back there in Genesis 15. God was creating faith in him. God was building faith in Abraham's heart. He was opening his spiritual ears to hear his blessed word to him long before he was justified in Genesis chapter 15 by faith alone. It was by the hearing of faith, the hearing by faith, that kept Abraham from trying to justify himself in the sight of God, by his thinking that any of his own works would ever merit favor with God, that somehow the promises would be performed by something that he could bring about or do in the sight of God. God gave Abraham grace to hear and to receive the word which he spoke to him from time to time. He gave him grace which would enable him to do what God wanted him to do and to believe in what God was promising to him, even though he could not see how it was going to be fulfilled. And we need to see that by the faith, the hearing of faith, that God made an entrance into Abraham's heart and mind so that the precious promises of his word would take root in his heart. It's the same with all true believers. I think a lot of times Christians think that it's just a matter, faith is faith. Faith does not need to be built. God doesn't need to do it. I just need to exercise it. Oh no, you need the supply of the Spirit of Christ. You need the hearing of faith in order to grow as a true Christian. Abraham is the spiritual father of us all. It says so in the Bible. But I want you to turn back to Genesis 15, verse 1 with me, to look at these words again, these amazing words. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? The heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and it was reckoned to him, or accounted to him, for righteousness. Now let us understand that God had spoken to Abraham before this time, had given him promises before this time. Back in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, when he was still in Ur of the Chaldees, there he had said to him, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Abraham departed from Ur, as the Lord told him to do. Now, turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. It says here, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. So Abraham, you see here, I want you to see this here. Abraham had saving faith, even when he left Ur of the Chaldeans. But we hear nothing of this faith being accounted to him for righteousness until Genesis 15, 6, some 10 years later, when God took him outside, told him to count the stars if he could, so would his descendants be. So you see, Abraham might have thought that he was being justified by his obeying God and going to the promised land. But he was not. It was only when he trusted God in relation to his being able to give him so many physical descendants, a thing which was totally impossible to him, knowing that his wife Sarai was barren. Then it was that the scriptures say, and he believed God, and it was reckoned or accounted to him for righteousness. So Abraham trusted in God's promise to do something that he could not possibly do or bring about by himself. That is, to have children, as many as the stars of heaven. And so it is here with the hearing of faith in each and every person who becomes a true Christian. Only those who are of this kind of faith are sons of Abraham. This incident in Genesis 15, 1-6, the giving of Abraham this promise, took place years before he received the rite of circumcision, and thus became the first Jew, the first Hebrew, the first Jewish man. Abraham was still a Gentile when he believed God and was justified. So why should the people in the Galatian churches believe that they had to be circumcised and keep the ceremonial law and add it to their moral good works? This was not at all the basis of their salvation. The basis of their salvation would be what Christ had done for them in his righteous life and his sacrificial death. It had nothing to do with their works. It was all of God's doing. It was his showing them grace through his promise and his giving them grace through the new birth by the Spirit working. I want you to turn with me over to John chapter 8, verse 31 now. John chapter 8. And verses 31 to 40. It says here, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered him, We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father." They answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this." So you can see from this passage that although Abraham's works had nothing to do with his being justified, that they did show forth the reality of the grace that God had supplied him with. It was faith that justified Abraham, and it was faith that was working together with his works that proved that his faith was genuine. So these people whom Jesus was speaking to said that they believed, and yet by the end of the conversation, they're trying to kill him. Here is the deception. It is that some people go to church and they observe the ordinances such as baptism and the Lord's Supper, and yet God's word has no place in them. Jesus had told them that the person who commits sin is the slave of sin, and the slave does not remain in the house forever. Only he, the Son, could set them free. They did not think that they were sinners. And that's why they thought that they were saved if they were descendants of Abraham. But they were not true descendants of Abraham because they would not receive God's word or abide in it. Now, this is really an incredible thing, isn't it? The hearing of faith puts faith and works in their proper order. And the people who heed it, they are set free from false conceptions of Christianity. There were many that Jesus was talking to who thought that they were justified by going to synagogue, doing religious good works, but they did not believe that they needed to be saved from their sins by the hearing of faith. They needed to do good works, but not in order that they might be justified by them. James chapter 2, verses 20 to 24. "But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." So you see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. So this passage, it appears to contradict everything that we find in the book of Galatians, which is, by the way, that Luther didn't like the book of James, but he got used to it after a while and began to see it as canonical. But you see, it does appear to contradict unless we understand this one truth that is about the hearing of faith. In Galatians, Paul is speaking about a person's hearing that their own works will not be able to justify them. And they come to believe in the Lord's promise of his freely bestowing the gift of salvation upon unworthy sinners, which they know themselves to be. Those works before conversion are called dead works in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Here Paul is speaking about good works which follow conversion. Those works prove the reality of the hearing of faith. For the obedience that flows forth from that hearing and having regard for God's word, it declares that person is someone who has really changed by God's grace. They're willing to obey Him now and do so by the strength that God gives them, looking to Him in faith for that strength which He supplies. God's word declares that that person is someone who has been changed by God's grace in this tremendous way of the hearing of faith. It took the hearing of faith for Abraham to leave Ur of the Chaldeans. It took the hearing of faith for Abraham to believe that he would really have children someday. It took the hearing of faith for him to obey the command to offer up his son Isaac on the altar. The hearing of faith is all of God's grace. It does not come by the works of the law, but it leads on to good works following conversion to Christ. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this passage, and we thank you for the hearing of faith, something that we need to learn about, that we can hear your word and yet it fall on our hearts and not be heard with the faith that we need to give to it, believing that we will be changed by it. Lord, we may have heard some of these verses over and over again in our life, but perhaps they have come to our hearts with fresh power, and I hope that they have. I pray that your dear people would go from faith to faith and strength to strength, and that we would appear before you in Zion. We pray that you will bless us now. We thank you for this day of worship and pray that we would go forth from here to live the life of a Christian by faith, and that we would walk with you in purity, holiness of heart, looking for all the grace that we need to do your will in all the many situations that you'll place us in. For we pray it in your dear name, Lord Jesus. Amen.